Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for Christ. Hallelujah. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We are not ashamed of the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. To the Greeks, Christ is foolishness. To the Jews, Christ is a stumbling block. But to those of us who are saved, Christ is the wisdom of God and it's the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, and we've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification. This is episode 81, sanctification. Praise God. And yesterday we stopped at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. You know, we emphatically saw yesterday how that every believer has been called to do the work of ministry. Every believer has been set apart unto the work of ministry. And how that the churches exist as a place or a training ground for the work of ministry. Every believer has been given the ministry. Now, the essence of coming to church, the essence of gathering together, the essence of having a man of God set over your life is to train you for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, Bible says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the essence of ministry gifts is for the purpose of maturing us, for equipping us and training us to do the work of ministry. We become more effective in ministering, in our ministry, hallelujah, as we receive leadership, as we receive spiritual training from men who are set over us in the Lord. And it's quite a sad scenario today. It's quite a sad sight that you find out that pastors, you know, prophets, especially prophets these days, take the place of God. Let me say, want to play God in the lives of men. Rather than focus on equipping men to become better in their work with God, better in their ministry, equipment to be mature in the faith, they are just simply raising men who are going to everly depend on them. They are simply raising men who are going to have to always rely on them, see them as some superstar in the midst of the church, and then stand in awe of them. You're just, you know, my daddy, my papa, and then you're just standing in awe of the man. You have no effectiveness in your own life. You can't pray, you can't study the word for yourself, you can't preach the gospel, you can't lead a soul to Christ, even you yourself, you can't string two verses of the Bible together to save your own self. That's a sad place to be as a Christian. But I believe that things are changing. I believe that the word of God is gaining ground day by day. I believe that the light is shining in the church intensely. Hallelujah. The light of the gospel, and many will come to a better understanding of the essence of the faith they have received, of the essence of being a member of the body of Christ, of the essence of gathering together with fellow saints every Sunday or every Wednesday, as the case may be. Hebrews chapter 10, glory to God. Hebrews 10 from verse 24, Bible says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's the reason for our gathering. Let us consider ourselves to stir up love and good works. How do we do this? In the gathering of the saints, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So why do we gather? In order to stir up love and good works. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. Glory to Jesus. So when we come to church, we are coming to sharpen ourselves. We are coming to sharpen ourselves so we can become more effective in serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Bible says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. It says, each of you, not some of you. Everybody has something. Hallelujah. Everybody has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. It says, let all things be done for edification. Hallelujah. Let all things be done for edification. Glory be to God. So that's the essence of coming to church. So Romans chapter 12, he said I was going to explain this better today. Romans chapter 12, we're still studying sanctification. And the reason why we're emphatic on, you know, seeing the ministry that we have received And then we're emphatic on the fact that we all have received the ministry is because we know from the scriptures that our sanctification is unto the work of ministry. We've been set apart to the work of ministry. Romans chapter 12, glory be to God. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Only acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Bible says in verse 3, so I said to you yesterday that the moment Paul calls us to acknowledge ourselves as a living sacrifice and to present ourselves as such, he begins to discuss service, ministry. Hallelujah. Because this is what we are set apart unto. And if a man is going to walk in consecration, he is going to walk in consecration towards the work of ministry. The reason why we pray, we study the word of God, we go apart to have retreats, is because we want to be more effective doing the work of ministry. Hallelujah. See, there are many Christians who, the moment you find them going apart to pray, having a time alone with God, they want to have a retreat, you just know that there's some fire on the mountain. Hallelujah. You just know that something is not going fine in their lives. Perhaps the person is trusting God for a child, or perhaps the person is seeking promotion. You see, many times, these things that we go apart to have retreats and fast, you know, to get, are things that happen, that are things you can receive in a church meeting without fasting or praying. You just come to church, and by the move of the Spirit, somebody gives a word of knowledge. By the move of the Spirit, somebody gives a word and your womb is healed by the power of God. You come to church, somebody gives a word about a job promotion. You see, those things happen cheaply in the gathering of the saints by the Spirit of God. So, but you need to ask yourself, why was Jesus going apart to pray? Why was Jesus spending nights in prayer? Why would Jesus rise up early in the morning before everybody, before daybreak, and then he would go to the mountain to pray? What exactly was he looking for? This was Jesus that wasn't looking for marriage. He wasn't going to get married. This was Jesus that wasn't seeking a job promotion. This was Jesus that didn't have school fees to pay. This was Jesus. See, Jesus didn't have the usual concerns that many of us have immersed ourselves into, because he was detached from those things. Hallelujah. So what exactly drove Jesus to spend all night in prayer? What exactly drove Jesus to be so committed and passionate about prayer, so much that Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days? What exactly drove him to such height of commitment when he wasn't really looking for many of the things we are looking for today? Hallelujah. That shows you that there is more to having a time alone with God than these ephemeral things and, you know, transient things that we chase after. Hallelujah. A man must realize that the essence of retreats, the essence of spending time alone, rigorous time, staying alone in the word, in prayers, is not because we want to get things. It's about our relationship with God, in the which we want to become more effective in serving him. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles 13. We'll come back to Romans 12. Acts of Apostles 13. Look at the apostles and the teachers in the early church. Bible says, now in the church that was at Antioch, Acts 13:1, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Imagine this. Hallelujah. Imagine this. Imagine this. They were ministering to the Lord. They fasted and they prayed. What happened in that environment was that they were able to find God's direction and God's will for Saul, for Paul and Barnabas. Hallelujah. They were able to set them apart for the work of ministry. So what did they find in that session of staying alone, of tiring, of spending time alone with the Lord? What did they find in ministering to the Lord? They found more effectiveness for ministry. There is more to going aside to pray and fast. There's more to having retreats than, you know, seeking how to get a breakthrough. Hallelujah. There's more. There's more. Because the work of ministry is the essence of our sanctification. Imagine this story at Acts 16. Most times people lose the import. They miss the import, the real lessons in these stories. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16 from verse 25. say that Paul and Silas had gotten into trouble for preaching the gospel. They have been jailed. So after being jailed, the Bible says at midnight, Acts of Apostles 16 verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, before you make the mistake of thinking that this was a formula for jailbreak, hallelujah, or prison break, just follow carefully, hallelujah. So Bible says they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Bible says suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, but Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out." And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Now, if you follow this story very carefully, you discover that the jail opened, the prison was, the prison gates were opened, and then Paul and Silas did not escape. Why? Because the reason why they were singing and praising God was not because they were seeking deliverance or breakthrough from prison. It was a lifestyle. Hallelujah. That's why after there was a deliverance, a mighty deliverance, which was a sign. Hallelujah. Because you notice that was what led to the conversion of the jailer. It was a sign. Praise God. It wasn't a formula for breaking out of jail. Glory be to God. As a matter of fact, Paul already said, and of course he knew, that the Holy Ghost testified in every place that chains and bonds awaited him. So Paul knew that he was going to go back to jail again. He knew till the end of his life. It was Paul that said to Timothy that those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution in this life. It is not me. It is will. It's definite. So he expected it. Hallelujah. In fact, from the moment Jesus called Paul, hallelujah, from the moment Jesus called Paul and gave him the ministry, Paul already knew that he was going to suffer many things for the sake of the gospel. So they were not singing and praying as a way to get out of jail. They were singing and praying as a lifestyle. Hallelujah. Such that you realize that the kind of consecration that Christ and his apostles modeled is not some fair weather commitment. Come rain, come shine. They were found committed. Hallelujah. They were steadfast because it was not about earthly goodness or earthly goodies. Hallelujah. It was not about seeking the ephemeral things of life, transient things of life. It was not about monetary gains and all. No, it was not about comfort. It was about serving God. Glory be to God. And that's the same reason why Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see how Jesus was torn between choosing, comfort and choosing to serve God. Choosing to hold back his life because at that point in time, Bible says, my soul is exceedingly troubled, exceedingly sorrowful. Hallelujah. He knew what he was about to experience. But then because he had learnt commitment and consecration, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So the essence of presenting ourselves as living sacrifices unto God is so as to save. That's the reason why we spend time studying God's word. So when next somebody asks you, "Why are you always reading your Bible and studying and praying? What is happening, Seth? Kilo day? Are you the only one?" You see, the answer for them is, "I have a ministry to fulfill." Hallelujah. I have a ministry to fulfill. Someone says, "Is it that your troubles are that great?" Says, "It's not about my trouble now. It's about a ministry God has entrusted to me." Hallelujah. It's about a ministry that God has entrusted to me. Someone says, you better take it easy. You're not the only one going through things. You're not the only one going through hard times. This Nigerian wahala is not, you're not the only one going through it. You say, well, I'm not studying my Bible or praying or spending time alone with God and going for retreats because I'm going through things. It is because I have a ministry to fulfill. Hallelujah. Are you not getting the point? It is because I have a ministry to fulfill. Glory be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this carefully. We'll come back to Romans chapter 12. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. It is not because I'm going through things. It's because I have a ministry to fulfill. 2 Timothy 2. Glory be to God. From verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life, of this life, that it may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Have you seen? It is for the sake of pleasing him that has called us. Hallelujah. That's why we are not entangled with the affairs of life. That's why we are enduring and coping with hardship, hardness, training. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. So, he says to present our bodies as living sacrifice because this is our reasonable service. And immediately, he begins to discuss ministry. From verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now, the measure of faith is with respect to us not having the same function. It doesn't mean that you have little faith, some have great faith, some have mustard faith, some have mustard seed faith, some have a mountain-moving faith. No, it means the measure of faith is with respect to us having different functions and different offices in the body. Hallelujah. This is not referring to ministry that we have received. All of us, we have received, you know, to the world. This is referring to our function within the body. Ministry to one another. Hallelujah. So, he says, measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same office. So, we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry, which is service. It will teach us in teaching. It will exhort in exhortation. It will give with liberality. It will lead with diligence. It will show mercy with cheerfulness. Now, if you look at all these things stated here, you discover that it seems as though every believer has the capacity to walk in all these gifts. Hallelujah. Every believer has the capacity to walk in all these gifts. Prophecy, ministry, exhortation, hallelujah, giving. Is giving for some, is giving for some believers. Let me quickly juxtapose this with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Is giving for some, can every believer walk in the grace of giving? 2 Corinthians, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Glory to God. From verse 1, Bible says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So we are making known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What is that grace of God? The grace of giving. Hallelujah. Bible says in verse 2, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, employing us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So look at verse 6. Now, having told the Corinthians the grace of God bestowed on the Macedonians, it will seem as though the Macedonians had a special grace to give. And then you say to other churches, well, these ones are the ones who have the grace of giving. It now says to them, verse 6, so we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete also, He would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. So that means you have a lot of gifts. Because when he says in this grace also, he refers to knowledge, he refers to diligence, he refers to speech, he refers to faith, abounding in all these graces. He says you must see to it that you also abound in the grace of giving. Hallelujah. You see that if you come to Romans 12, he says he will lead with diligence. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, as you abound, verse 7, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Glory be to God. You see that if you come to Romans chapter 12, verse 8, he will exhort in exhortation, he will give with liberality, he will lead with diligence, he will show mercy with cheerfulness. And Paul says, as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in your diligence, in your love, hallelujah, in your love, see that you also abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. So the truth of the matter is, every believer has the capacity to walk in all these things. I like the way Apostle Peter explains this. 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 10, Bible says, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In some translations, modern translations, you find it expressed as each one has received a gift. But the KJV says as each one has received the gift, because it is not a particular gift. It's about the gift. Hallelujah. The gift. And now says minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold is the word that means diverse. It is not just one gift. It is diverse, 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 diverse gifts of God. Hallelujah. Manifold grace of God. So he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, what Peter said here is exactly what Paul meant by the measure of faith. That is, we are going to minister this gift according to the ability God supplies. Now, this is what it means. Though we all can prophesy, though we all can minister, though we all can give, though we all can exhort, we are all going to express these gifts differently. The gifts are the same, the expressions are not the same. That's why you find two people teaching and then they are not teaching the same way, though the content of their teaching is the same. Hallelujah. You know, the apostles taught the same things. I'm not talking about the modern church now, where you have different doctrines. I'm talking about the apostles who taught the same things. If you read through their letters, you discover that they had the same emphasis. They taught the same things. The gospel was the same. It was consistent. However, the expression of the teaching gift is distinct. Hallelujah. It's unique to each and every one of them. There's a way Paul taught. Hallelujah. There's a way Peter taught. There's a way James taught. There's a way Jude taught. There's a way John taught. Hallelujah. It was unique. The teaching gift was unique. Finding expression uniquely through each and every one of them. So that's the measure of faith. That's with the ability which God supplies. Glory be to God. That's why it is gratefully to compare two different ministers. I mean, they are both teaching the word of God, but you are saying I prefer his own style. See, there's no particular style that is the style. If the content does not in any way deviate from apostolic doctrine, then the man is doing a great job. Hallelujah. He's doing a great job. Don't get so used to a preacher that you can't receive from another preacher that is teaching the same thing. And you have come to a point where you fancy one particular preacher above the other. Hallelujah. Or above the rest. That was the problem in the Corinthian church. Imagine that Paul was teaching the same thing that Apollos was teaching. Apollos was teaching the same thing that Peter was teaching. Yet these guys were choosing one above the other. Hallelujah. What was happening in the Corinthian church was not the case of someone being a false teacher and the other being a sound teacher. No, all of them were sound ministers of the gospel. So much that Paul says, Paul plants, but Apollos waters. That is, their ministry was complementary. I would plant and he would water. It wasn't uprooting what I was planting, as is the case of some ministers today. But the Corinthians were still walking in, you know, strife, preferring one above the other, which is very awkward. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So as long as the message does not deviate from apostolic doctrine and teaching, you are not to prefer any minister above another minister. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because we are all going to minister as with the ability that God supplies. Bear in mind also that Romans 12 is not dealing with ministry gifts as we find it at Ephesians chapter 4. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. No, this is referring to functions, graces, gift of God within every believer, finding expression, you know, to other believers in the church. Hallelujah, in the body of Christ. Now, it's always very incredible for many to agree that a singular believer can walk in different expressions of the Spirit. But then, it shouldn't be a hard nut to crack. Why? Because everywhere you see reference made to good works for believers in Christ Jesus, you find out that we are said to be created unto good works. Every individual is wired for good works, not just one. Good works, different things you are able to do. So John 14:12 again, he that believes in me, Jesus speaking, the very works that I do, the very works, not one, the very works, that is all that I'm able to do, is also able to do. So the believer has been an embodiment of the fullness of Christ, having received the fullness of the grace of God, is able to express the same. Hallelujah. Is able to express different things in the same life, different graces from the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared good works for every individual. Glory be to Jesus. Every individual. You can prophesy, you can minister, you can exhort, you can give cheerfully, you can do all, hallelujah, that is in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Titus chapter 2, verse 10 to, look at this now, Titus chapter 2, I'll read from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Good works. Hallelujah. Not just one, good works. So you are able to do all that Jesus can do. Hallelujah. You are able to do all that Jesus can do. You don't say, in this church now, maybe we are just 10 in the church. And then you say, the reason why we don't have certain expressions of the Spirit is because we are no more than 10. In fact, 10 is too much. Let's assume we are just 3. Does it mean we can't be a blessing to one another in diverse operations of the Spirit because we are few in number, because we are just 3? So we say we are waiting for people who join us who have the ability to prophesy. We are waiting for others who have the ability to give cheerfully. We are waiting for others who can exhort. Because God is limited through us. There is a level, there's a limit to which God can move through just the 3 of us. The truth of the matter is, the 3 of us can walk in all these graces towards one another. We can minister to one another in all these graces. Glory be to God. Because God is not limited in any believer. God is not limited in any believer. God is at work through us, doing all that Jesus is able to do through us as individuals. Praise God. The difference is in the expression. Praise God. So there's a way I prophesy. There's a way you prophesy. There's a way I give word of knowledge. There's a difference in how we go about ministering. There's a difference in how we exercise the gifts, but the gift of God is the same. Glory be to God. The gift of God is the same. But there's a difference in how we express, give expression, and how we exhibit the gift of God. Based on our understanding of the word of God, based on maturity, there are many factors, and based on the ability of God itself on our inside. Glory be to God. I want you to see 1 Corinthians as I close. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory be to God. Let's see that again carefully. See that the old church had the ability to function in all the operations, in all the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26. Look at this. Now the Bible says, how is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Each of you. Hallelujah. Each of you. Each of you, not that some have this, some have that. Each of you can walk in all these things. Glory be to God. In fact, at verse 39, Paul says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Desire earnestly. Everybody desire to prophesy. Praise God. Because we all can prophesy. Glory be to God. In fact, look at what he says in this place. 1 Corinthians, still at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians from verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Verse 31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. You all can prophesy one by one. Praise God. Because we all have the ability of God on the inside to prophesy. Praise God. We all can speak in tongues. We all can prophesy. We all can give with liberality. We all can exhort. We all can, you know, we all can minister the gifts of the Spirit. We can minister the graces of God on the inside because we have the ability of God on the inside. Glory be to God. So we have been set apart to the work of ministry, and this work of ministry includes work of ministry to the world and work of ministry to the body of Christ. So this is the essence of our consecration. And as a man begins to give himself more to the study of the word, to prayer, to devotion, he becomes more effective in ministering both to the world and to the body. And of course, ministering to God. Hallelujah. Ministering to God. So the focus today was on ministry within the body. You see that you have a lot to offer the body of Christ. You have a lot that God wants to communicate through you to others in the body. Hallelujah. You have what it takes to steer others up unto good works and unto love. You have what it takes to minister the gifts of God. You have what it takes to prophesy, to minister comfort, edification. You have what it takes to exhort. You have what it takes to be a liberal giver. You have what it takes to show mercy and to walk in love. You have so much on your inside. But these things will not come to the fore until you give yourself to God. Hallelujah. That's why Paul began at Romans 12:1 by saying, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Why does it seem like some believers are more effective? You see them ministering to others. You see them, you know, charging everybody up, stirring people up here and there. When they get into a gathering, you know that somebody is around. What is the difference? They've learned to give themselves to God as living sacrifices that they are. They've learned to present their bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God. They've learned to submit. Hallelujah. They've learned to stay in the place of consecration. In the place of consecration, you become more sharpened for the work of ministry. You become more sharpened and you turn out more effective in dispensing your ministry both to the body of Christ and to the world around you. Glory be to God. So this is how it works. In presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, in ministering to the Lord, we become effective in ministering to others. Hallelujah. We become effective in ministering to the world and to the church as we minister to the Lord, as we give ourselves to the Lord. Glory be to God. See that for the Macedonians, Bible says they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. That's the order. You must first learn to give yourself to the Lord. You must learn to spend time alone with the Lord, minister to the Lord, and then you grow to become effective in ministering to the world and to the body of Christ as a whole. Glory be to God. To the body, to the church, to other members of the body of Christ. Glory be to God. Do good to tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. We'll continue our study on sanctification. Praise God. And we're going to end that this week and move on to another metaphor for salvation. I trust that you've been blessed. You know, don't forget to tune in. Invite somebody. Talk about it. Put on your WhatsApp status, social media handles, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. Share your faith with somebody. See you in the next episode.